You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, knowing how to pose in a photograph is hard. For me, anyway. But a local photographer gives us some advice and tricks to make it easier for your summer graduations, weddings, and family get-togethers. You probably heard the notion that under the U.S. tax system, everybody pays their fair share and that the richest Americans pay the most. According to a new report, that may not be the case. ProPublica got a hold of some IRS data on the tax returns of thousands of the wealthiest Americans. The list includes Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, investors Warren Buffett, George Soros, and Carl Icahn, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, and more. The information shows that over the past 15 years, some of them have paid relatively little federal income tax, and some years, none. Nobody's being accused of doing anything illegal. They're just taking advantage of the way the tax code works. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this? Were you upset or shocked to find out that the very rich avoid paying much in the way of income taxes in many cases? Or are these features a good thing? Because they spur investment, economic growth, charitable giving. Are there changes you think need to be made? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jeff Ernsthausen is a senior data reporter at ProPublica. He worked on this tax story. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little more, Jeff, about this data you got, all this IRS information? What did you end up with?
So as you mentioned, we have tax records on thousands of the wealthiest individuals for over 15 years. We're talking the 1% of the 1%, including household names like you mentioned, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and so on.
What stood out to you the most as you started to dig into the numbers?
Well, what we featured in our first story, which ultimately is about a very basic concept, right? And that's that you and I, and most listeners out there, when we work to live, we earn wages or a salary, and taxes are taken automatically out of that each month, right? The ultra wealthy are not in the tax system the same way. So the bulk of their wealth as it grows is not taxed until they choose to do something like, say, sell stock. And so what we observed is that they're able to accrue vast wealth and not pay a lot in taxes on it. And interestingly, as you pointed out, in some years, some of the country's wealthiest individuals were able to pay zero in federal income taxes.
And the key question here in a lot of ways, in a lot of these stories, is what is income? As you mentioned, for a lot of us, that's our paycheck. But a lot of times we'll read a rich person, their net worth went up X amount last year, something like that. A lot of times that isn't what is considered income for income tax purposes. Why not?
That's right. You know, for the average person, income is really the operative thing, right? I mean, you might get some growth in the value of a relatively small stock portfolio or in the value of your house, but most of what you're bringing in, so if you think about it economically, is an income that the IRS recognizes through wages. It's completely flipped for people who are the wealthiest in this country. So the vast majority of what they're bringing in is never income as specified by the IRS. And so when you take that fuller picture of, you know, the economic value that people can tap into, you see that the ultra wealthy are paying a really low rate.
And now people might think, okay, great. Your stocks went up this year. You don't get taxed on that, but you're eventually going to pay the price, right? Because you're going to sell those stocks sometime and it'll all catch up. Does it tend to work out that way?
Not necessarily. So there are ways that folks can, especially at the top of the wealth spectrum, can work to kind of minimize how they'll end up paying taxes. So first is if income happens at a time of your choosing, you can also do things that can offset it at that time, right? So you can do things like time your charitable deductions in the years when you want to sell stocks so that you can reduce that income and reduce the taxes paid on it. And one might think, well, eventually there's going to be, you know, estate taxes paid, let's say. People at the very top of the wealth spectrum can also find ways around that. They can use certain kinds of trusts to pass assets on without paying the estate tax. And ultimately, you know, some folks may decide to, you know, give everything to charity, which may fund some noble causes, but also means that their the wealth that they accumulated may never actually end up getting taxed.
Talking to Jeff Ernsthausen, senior data reporter at ProPublica. He was part of the team that analyzed tax information, IRS information about many, some thousands of the wealthiest Americans, found that a lot of them pay very small amounts of income tax and some years no income tax. You could join in with your thoughts on this or your questions at 800-642-1234. Do you see this as a problem? If so, what changes do you think need to be made? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jeff, you also, in this piece, you and your colleagues lay out a strategy. If I have tons of assets and stocks and other things like this, and I want to spend lots of money but not get an income, there's a people borrow the money. Talk about how this works.
Yeah, and it's a part of what you mentioned earlier, sort of how does this work if you don't have income, right? So the thing is that just like a typical, you know, person might borrow against their house and take out a home equity loan, the ultra wealthy can borrow against their stock portfolios. And the most prominent example of that would be, Elon Musk. So Elon Musk, through disclosures made to the SEC by Tesla, we know that Elon Musk borrowed against some $60 billion in shares of Tesla. So even though someone may not be selling and therefore getting an income that way, they still have access to those resources. And rather than taking a, you know, maybe 20% capital gains hit and losing control of part of the company, they may pay a single digits interest rate to a bank.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Slinger. Mike, hi.
Hey, afternoon, guys. I read your article in the Journal yesterday. It was pretty good. I was really impressed on what they pay on all that money, 1.3%, 1.7% compared to my 34%. Or used to be. I'm retired now. But did you do any further? Did you go further down the ladder to people that are making $2 million, $3 million, $10 million, $20 million, $60 million instead of the billionaires? Just curious. And I'll take your answer. Thank you.
Mike, thanks for the call. Jeff, the people who aren't the super billionaires but still have a decent amount of cash, how far down did your data go?
Well, I'm not able to comment on how far down our data went. I will say that, so we focused on the top, the wealthiest folks in the country, the folks that we would be able to get data from Forbes on in terms of where their wealth was. Now, the IRS does publish information for people who are further down in the income spectrum. And what that data shows is that, the amount of taxes you pay as a share of what you take in an income tends to rise steadily until you get into the, I think you start pushing past 1 or 2 million, you start getting more like 10 or beyond million, then you start to see a dip as people are making more in capital gains and things that receive a lower rate than say wages or other kinds of income.
Mike, thanks a lot for that question at 800-642-1234. So, Jeff, an important point here, and at least in what you've published so far, none of what we're talking about is illegal, right? It's taking advantage of the system as it exists.
Yeah, that's right. Our first story here has been entirely about legal sort of routine techniques for tax avoidance and the way that the ultra wealthy are able to organize their affairs to avoid taxes in ways that are not available to typical Americans.
And another point some people are raising, and some of your colleagues at ProPublica actually published a piece on the ethics of this. Somewhere along the line, somebody broke the law to put this data that you're using out into the public. What kind of questions are you asking inside ProPublica about how and whether to use this information?
Well, I would say that we've been very careful in what we are reporting. So we're not, we haven't put everything we have up on the internet, right? We do think that it's relevant with the wealthiest Americans, those who control over $1 trillion in wealth and some of the largest household companies in the country. We think it's relevant what they pay in taxes. I think that our discussion is focused on what is of the public interest.
We are talking about taxes and what the wealthy do or don't pay when it comes to income tax. Jeff Ernsthausen is a senior data reporter at ProPublica, part of the team that analyzed this tax information on, you know, household names like Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, and Elon Musk, and a lot of other people. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to what you're hearing, what you read, if you took a look at the pieces so far? Do you think tax codes need to change, including maybe taxing unrealized income? When somebody's wealth goes up thanks to stocks, say, or other assets, should we have a wealth tax of some sort in this country? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about a new report from ProPublica that dives into how the richest Americans pay little, or in some years, no federal income tax. The report found that Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, now the world's richest man, paid no income taxes in 2007, 2011 as well. Others have managed to pull that off in recent years. Nothing illegal here, but ProPublica says the IRS data paints a picture of a tax system that in many ways can be skewed in favor of the wealthiest Americans. Jeff Ernsthausen stays with us, senior data reporter at ProPublica, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Jimmy is with us in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hi.
Good afternoon, gents. I always wondered why we don't have a national sales tax, because even the ultra-wealthy buy things at, like, you know, $80 million yachts and expensive cars and expensive jewelry. So to me, that would be part of the solution. They can't really get out of that.
Jimmy, thanks a lot for the call. And in the piece, Jeff, you and your colleagues looked at some alternatives that would bring in more taxes from the wealthiest. Is this something people are talking about, some kind of national sales tax, consumption tax, luxury tax, whatever you want to call it?
Sure. Thanks for that question. Yeah, I think that's something that people are talking about. Interestingly, if you look, if you sort of step back and look at all the taxes paid by people across the income spectrum, sales taxes tend to land a bit heavier on people further down the spectrum, because we tend to pay more of our, you know, people have to spend more money just to of a bigger share of their income just to pay for the necessities of life, right? So somebody who has to spend every dime they earn is going to pay whatever it is, 6% or whatever the state sales tax is on that. That said, I'm sure it's possible to come up with a design to where one could potentially omit certain kinds of necessities from a sales tax system in order to make it fall a little less heavily on people further down the income spectrum.
Thanks a lot for that call. Now, one response to your piece comes from Jonah Goldberg, conservative columnist. He said, in effect, tax loopholes, what people call loopholes, were written to encourage things like investment and charitable giving. So, yes, we're not getting the income tax, but the benefits end up balancing that out. I know you don't necessarily take a policy position in your writing, but what do you make of that argument and that response?
Yeah, I mean, to be sure, charitable giving does a lot of good. And you know, I think what our article is doing is not necessarily focused on telling you whether all of this is good or bad. It's sort of giving people the information that they need in order to make an informed sort of decision or debate about tax policy in this country. I will note that one of the interesting things we got back when we reached out to Warren Buffett was that he noted that he would rather give his money away to charity than have it pay down part of the national debt. Now, as one might note, that's not necessarily an option for everyone, because we pay taxes right away when we receive a paycheck.
Let's go back to our callers now. Bob is with us in northern Wisconsin. Bob, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Bob?
Well, yeah, the fact is the stock market thing going up, and people are making money out of right now, but that's because they brought money back from overseas with the tax breaks that the Republicans come up with recently. And what they're doing is they're driving the stock prices up by buying the stock back, rather than putting all this money coming back in the country into the company's well-being and helping the country out grow industry again.
I gotcha, Bob. Thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, a lot of attention, I think, on stock buybacks. And that reminds me of something in your piece, Jeff. A lot of people whose income grows heavily, it's growing, or they're not, their wealth grows. It grows because of the stock they hold in their own company, even if they're only making a salary, an income of $60,000 a year or $1 a year or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. There's been this phenomenon of CEOs taking relatively low pay, and in some cases that's sort of celebrated as a virtue. I mean, one of the other virtues of it is that you also are not getting wage income, which would be taxed at the highest rate. So in some ways, the compensation of CEOs is very much a part of this story, because if you're compensated in stock and that stock grows, and especially if it's a stock that's not paying dividends, then there's not going to be a whole lot of taxes paid on that wealth as you accumulate it.
Thanks for the call, Bob, at 800-642-1234. Jeff Ernsthausen is with us, senior data reporter at ProPublica, looking at ProPublica's latest pieces, more to come based on a bunch of information, tax information on many of the wealthiest Americans, and showing that they pay little or in some years no income tax, many of them. Jeff, as far as policy ideas that float around Wisconsin, in national politics in Washington, are people saying, hey, we should tax these unrealized gains? If you make a lot of wealth gains in the stock market, say you might be taxed on that?
There are some proposals to that effect. I believe Senator Ron Wyden has sort of talked about doing this, and there's some sort of folks who have worked out some technical details of how that would work, right? And one of the concerns people always raise is, well, this would, I'd have to sell my company or sell part of my company. But, you know, as with most things, technical solutions are always out there to figure out these kinds of problems if one's so inclined.
Time for another caller now. Bill is with us in West Bend. Bill, hello.
Hello. No. The discussion earlier about a federal income tax, if they instituted, say, 1% or 2% federal income tax, but gave a refund to people under a certain income level, that would help equalize it and put the burden towards the higher income people.
And Bill, did you mean that we were talking earlier about a federal sales tax? We already have the
federal sales tax.
Gotcha.
Sorry,
okay.
A federal sales tax.
I figured that's what you meant. Thanks for the clarification, Bill. I appreciate that. So Bill raising the idea of, yes, everybody pays a sales tax, but you get rid of that, I guess, the regressive concern you brought up, Jeff, by rebating to people with lower income. Might work, but it sounds more complicated than just a straight-up sales tax.
Yeah, but that's, I think, as your caller just pointed out, that's, you know, among the solutions that I think people kind of come up with is, you know, when trying to figure these things out, is on the one hand, you could put a flat rate in and pay some people back if they're at a certain part of the income spectrum. So it's certainly among the technical things that people might talk about.
Thanks a lot for that call, Bill. One thing I wanted to dive in on a little closer, Jeff. Jeff Bezos, in a couple of years, was able to claim the child tax credit, the one that earned income credit, I think, that's mainly geared toward lower-income people. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah. How did he do that?
Well, I mean, in that year, his income was so low that he was able to qualify for that. And it would seem that either he or a very attentive tax attorney noticed that and claimed it.
I want to look ahead, Jeff, now, and I assume you're going to play a little close to the vest in terms of what data you're sitting on there. And but that said, what can we look forward to in your reporting on these documents in the upcoming weeks?
Well, absolutely, we're going to continue reporting based on these, and I can't get into the exact stories, of course, but I think we're continuing to look at ways in which the system is skewed in ways that favor the wealthiest among us.
Jeff, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I've been talking to Jeff Ernsthausen, senior data reporter at ProPublica. We talked to him today about ProPublica's reporting on how the richest Americans managed to pay relatively little, if anything, in some years in income taxes. Still time for you to share your reactions to that reporting from what you've heard now, or if you've read it, you could head over and share your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page and what, if anything, you think needs to change in our tax system, or to make the case that this is working as designed and you don't have a problem with it. Again, share your thoughts over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tweet us at Central Time WPR, or you can always email ideas@WPR.org.